Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Welcome, everyone, to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Michael Bostar, Chief of Staff at Kinslips. Thanks for joining us today, Michael.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man.
It's a pleasure's all mine, man. So give us a sense of geography. Where are you located today?
I'm in Oakland, foggy Oakland, California. Sometimes we escape the San Francisco fog, but today it has made its way across the bay, and we have a nice foggy day here.
Sweet. So you're headquartered over there in Oakland, huh?
Yeah, we manufacture here in Oakland. We have the Type N, so we're able to manufacture our product here in our space, and we have some offices here as well.
Awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about Kinslips, what you guys are doing over there?
Sure. So Kinslips, we make a cannabis-infused sublingual strip. It's a little square. You put it under your tongue, feel the effects in about 10 minutes. And so it's a much faster acting alternative to edibles, but still a smoke-free option. The whole premise of the company was built on creating a product that was reliable, predictable, and would provide you the same exact experience every time to really reinvigorate the trust in cannabis, especially when people have all had like that edible experience sort of thing. And so our products, they're experience-based. We have some with THC. We have one with CBD. And we actually just this year released our first CBN product. So it's a 5 milligram CBD, 5 CBN. It's called Shut-Eye. And that one helps you get Shut-Eye really well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we have four different blends. All across the state, you can find us. And, you know, it's definitely a niche market. But we're definitely converting a lot of people, especially now with all the negative press that vapes are getting. I think that even more people are going to be converted. We know that I love smoking weed. It's never like smoking is never going to vanish. Mm-hmm. And we by no means are trying to replace smoking, but rather supplement or, you know, be another alternative, because the reality is you can't smoke everywhere. You can't smoke in a movie theater. You can't smoke in certain places, but a Kinslip, super discreet, just put it under your tongue. And then the effects feel more like smoking or vaping because you're getting that Delta 9 THC versus the degradation that happens in your liver. So it's going to feel more like smoking or vaping anyways. And you get a really positive experience, feel it in about 10 minutes, and they're pretty sweet.
That's awesome. No, yeah, you know, I get this visual of like those mint strips, you know, that they used to have out there.
Yeah, Listerine is like, well, so that's kind of like the name who shall not be spoken around these parts.
Because, that's why I didn't bring up the name. I just said mint strips, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fine. It's like, it's a cool comparative, but the issue is that when people think of Listerine, they think that on top of the tongue. Mm-hmm. And if you put our product on top of your tongue, I mean, it's just going to taste like terpenes, which are kind of intense. And you're going to get more of an edible effect than the sublingual effect. So versus what the product is made for, you'll still get, you know, some of the cannabinoids that are in there, but it's really a key to put it under the tongue. And when we compare it to Listerine, people think it's going to make their breath smell good. Our product doesn't make your breath smell good. They think it goes on your tongue. Our product doesn't go on your tongue, and just kind of leads to a little bit more work to educate people. So we really try and stay away from the L word around here. But yes, it is a small square film that dissolves under your tongue.
in that sense, it's comparable. In every other sense, it's not. So, well, very cool. So you're talking about that edible experience, right? We've all had it where you take a little bit too much and you're supposed to. How do you guys control dosage? How do you guys kind of get into that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, awesome product formulations is the simplest answer, and lots of iterations. The product actually, so our founder started the process of making Kinslips almost 7 years ago. And he actually started with a gum. And so I was trying to think of a unique product that had a good feel to the package, was discreet, easy to use. Didn't want to have to bring around like a big bag of brownies or anything like that. And so gum was how it started. But the issue is he got really good at infusing cannabinoids into gum, which is cool. But then you'd have to chew the gum for like 3 hours to get like a 10 milligram dose. And then you're just like chewing gum that tastes like weed and like isn't necessarily the best experience. So then it was like, all right, and then it moved to this like casing, right? Kind of like an M&M casing, like on the gum, and the casing was infused. So then you'd pop it, you'd chew it, and the casing you'd swallow, and then you just keep chewing gum. But then it's same thing, it was kind of just like an edible, and then this gum that was like mediocre gum because that wasn't the focus of the product. But through that process, he got really good at creating these little tiny films, this super thin product that could hold THC and other cannabinoids. So then with a little more iterations, a few more processes, we figured out how to make it super, super small, easy to dissolve, and while still holding on to all those active ingredients. So then just iterative process is like the honest answer. And now we have our formulas dialed in. We take the potency of the distillate that we use. We use distillate, so we'll get THC distillate or CBD distillate, CBN distillate. And then depending on the percentage that that is, we have a formula that we batch it together with other ingredients, all natural. And then we just basically spread it out super thin and homogenize, make sure it's homogenized. And then based on the width and kind of how we do it, we make sure that the dose is exactly the same every single time.
Amazing. So, you know, obviously it's a novel idea, you know, it's a great idea. You know, but it's, you guys seems, it's very distinctive from your normal edible, you know, everybody knows and they go in, they want their gummies or they want their cookie or, you know, they want their vape or, you know, they want their flower. So how do you educate people about this product, this brand new thing that people aren't really aware of? People don't even know if they want yet. How do you guys go about that?
Hours and hours and hours of training, of education, of demo days, of publicity, outreach, and just like one at a time. I have Kinslips in my pocket all the time. Anyone who rides a Lyft pool with me in the Bay Area usually gets the plug on some Kinslips. You know, it's it really is just one at a time. Because the reality is, I would say today, September 5th, 2019, I would bet money that there are very few people walking into dispensaries in California and saying, hey, do you have a cannabis infused sublingual strip available? I'm really looking for that. So, you know, it's a lot about educating people, and it's getting the bud tenders trained so that when someone comes in, because what will happen and what I am confident is happening today on September 5th, 2019, is I would almost guarantee you that someone across the state of California is going into a dispensary and saying, hey, I'm not really trying to smoke. I want to consume cannabis, but I've had a really bad experience with edibles and I'm looking for something else. And it's making sure that when that person comes in, the staff is educated, the publicity is out there, that they're aware that there are options. We often get compared, we're more compared to like a tincture realistically, because tinctures kind of, you know, they go under your tongue, you feel the effects much quicker. But even there, you know, we definitely stand out. Each Kinslip is individually packaged. So you get one square in its own little pouch. And so you don't have to bring around like a, you know, like a liquid vial in your pocket. They actually fit in a credit card slot, so you can take them. They're super easy to bring with you pretty much anywhere. And so we kind of beat that, and you use the word educate, and that's the key, is it's just education. We're carving out the market. Sublinguals as a category, since 2017, since May of 2017, the most categories, flower, vape, and edibles, all have pretty much grown at about 150% in those past 2 years, but sublinguals as a category have grown 1,800%. So it's definitely becoming more and more of a trend, and sublingual at large is becoming a more understood and mainstream way of consuming cannabis. And so then within that, we're really trying to make sure that people understand the value of a strip and making sure that it's a consistent experience. It kind of has, it's called like mucosal adhesiveness. So the square will like kind of stick to under your tongue versus when you use the tincture, especially now that they have to be oil-based and you can't use alcohol. Now that they're oil-based, a lot of it will kind of like slip through the sides of your tongue and you'll end up swallowing it. But with the strip, it really does just kind of adhere under your tongue and you're able to get the full dose so that you get the experience that you have gotten every single time you've taken a Kinslip.
No, that's really great. And, you know, I do love tinctures myself as well. So it's, I mean, I do love the convenience, you know, and the discreetness, just being able to have it anywhere, pull it out, you know, quick use, you know, instead of waiting, you know, that's amazing. 10-minute effect waiting for
And the dosing, you mentioned dosing, right? And it's like with a tincture, you know, it's relatively precise, but you know, it's like how much is in a droplet, you know, at a given time, it's very unpredictable. Our products are completely homogenized. So each square, if it's 10 milligrams, you can cut it in half and you can have 2 5s and share it with a friend. If 5 milligrams is too much, you can cut that again and it'll be quarters. The product's completely homogenized. It's very dosable. So you can really understand exactly what you're getting every time.
Oh yeah, and it's a great product. Definitely hoping to bring more awareness about it today. So, I love the name, but what's with the name Kinslips? Can you give me a little bit about the origin story with that?
Sure. So, you know, there's several things. Definitely, you know, kin. We're all kin is our slogan. It's the idea that you know you can definitely like you want to be family with people. We care a lot about community. We know it's a lot of education. You know, anytime we're doing sales, you know, sales is basically a partnership for us. If we get into a store and the staff isn't educated on our product, like I said, not many people are coming in and saying, hey, can I have a strip? It really requires that partnership of people who are on board with the product. And so we really try and, you know, treat our partners like their family. You know, as a company, our culture is definitely very positive. Everyone supports each other. We have very open communication. And then slips, we want slips to be the thing, man. You know, there's going to be others. Already there's a couple other sublingual strips that have come on the market. And slips is just a little catchy. And we want everyone to call everything slips, just like you call all cotton swabs Q-tips. We want for the next 10 years, anytime a sublingual strip comes on, that everyone just says, hey, you know, let me get some slips sort of thing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, everybody in the cannabis industry is obviously has a different why and is very passionate about being in it. You know, what's your journey in the cannabis industry? You know, what is it that you feel passionate about that pushes you to keep doing what you're doing?
Totally. So for me, I mean, I have an interesting relationship with cannabis. I didn't smoke actually until my senior year of high school. I was very goody-goody, you know, salutatorian. I was like top of my class, all that good stuff. And I played a lot of soccer and I didn't want to smoke because, I was like, I'm a really good soccer player. I don't want to deal with my lungs. And I played on this really competitive club team. My high school team wasn't that good. And all the guys on my high school team smoked a bunch of weed. And so I was like, that's why we're not good.
That's why you guys sucked, you know, obviously.
Exactly, right? But my competitive team, we crushed. We were one of the better teams in Northern California. It was like super fun to play with them. And then my senior year, I'd never really partied with them because we were from all over the place. But senior year, you know, we were all going to college and we were having this party. And all of them were taking fat bong rips and like, you know, just like ripping it up at this party. And I was like, oh, if these guys smoke, then I guess whatever. And so that's kind of how my door got opened, at least, is like, you know, the whole athletics kind of got nixed. And then once that was my only excuse, I then just became an avid user. I went to UCLA. Definitely supported my my income with some connections that I had from Northern California. I actually was on student government, and so there's always been this weird juxtaposition for me with cannabis, where I feel like the buttoned up piece of me, you know, because I like to be buttoned up, right? You know, I like to wear nice shirts and be professional and, you know, use the Oxford comma. But I also like to smoke weed, and I never knew how to like balance that. And there was actually one time I remember where I had to leave a meeting with one of the like a vice chancellor at UCLA that I was having a meeting with. And I had to leave because one of my buddies needed an eighth. And so, you know, it was like this, and that moment to me was like, wow, I'm living a couple of very different worlds. But cannabis has always been a big community builder for me. Like I said, at UCLA, the student government can get really tense. And I ended up being pretty involved with both parties. And one of the reasons was that I was the plug for a lot of the people who we were running against. And so, you know, it's like, it just drops the doors. And I think that, that kind of being in the shadows of, you know, the people who go outside to smoke, you know, you always come back a little bit more bonded. You're always a little more tight, you know. It's just like, you kind of smell like pot and you come in, you're all kind of like, and it's just like, it's always been a uniting experience for me. And so I worked for a little bit, same thing, but it was like this dual life, my professional life, and then like, you know, the cannabis user life. And I had a tough experience. I was working for a company and I just got screamed at, like, I'll fucking kill you. You don't fucking know me. I'll like sit down, do your fucking work. And so I had like big, like existential crisis about like, am I ever going to find somewhere to work? Like, do I like, will I ever actually be happy? And I started going to cannabis events and I actually spent a year. So in 2017, then I was like, all right, I want to work. I want to work in cannabis. I want to do this and I want to see what's up. And it was right before Prop 64 was becoming real, or being implemented. It already passed. So it was coming. And in 2017, I started poking around. I started going to some events. And then I got a job at Harvest. There's a high-end dispensary here in San Francisco. They have two spaces with lounges, and I was organizing events, and people were just blown away. I remember, like, it was crazy how impressed people were by, like, what I consider just, like, competency. Like, I would send a Cal invite, and I would respond to emails quickly, and I would schedule things, and I would do what I said. And there was just a lot of lack of sophistication as like the real deal was coming. And so I then spent, after I worked at Harvest, I had a 2-month contract there. We then went our separate ways. It was a great foundation. It got me introduced to some of the top brands in the state. And then I spent a year just kind of organizing events, doing what I could, learning. Basically, if it had cannabis, I showed up. I gave myself a $5,000 budget for a year. And I said, if I burn through $5,000, I have to get a job and this whole cannabis thing isn't going to work. And that was to go to, I went to MJ BizCon in Vegas. I went to smoke sessions where I got like 50 dabs. I went to everything that had anything affiliated with cannabis in the area. I went to Women Grow events. I went everywhere. And just started to learn. And I started hosting some of my own because I built a pretty good network. And so I organized these events called Blunt Talks. They happen still in LA, but I organized several up in San Francisco. That got me to, and I hosted them at Meadow, which is a point of sale software company. And they have a great space where they would host events for a little bit before things got a little more strict. And so I hosted them there, got to know the team there. And my first job out of college was being a camp director. So I'm an American Camp Association certified camp director and have spent multiple years organizing camps for, you know, a couple hundred people at a time for week-long adventures. And it was right around that time that they were looking to start this event called Meadowlands. And they had seen that I could organize events in cannabis and they knew that I was a camp director. And so I worked with them for a few months to get the first ever Meadowlands launched last year. And that was an awesome success. We had like 350 people there. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it was up in Mendocino. And it was an awesome time, and I had a great time. And then after that, I really was at this point where I was like, all right, I'm kind of done doing freelance one-off events. And I want to, I'm sold. This is an industry I want to work in. These are people I really like. This is, you know, I can speak openly about cannabis. I had no idea how many people sold weed in college until I started working in cannabis. I thought I was the only one. And then I just started looking for opportunities, and the Kinslips, the product is unique. The team is super hardworking, and I had already known them for about a year, and we got to talking and made it work so that I would come on board as chief of staff and kind of this, like, you know, Swiss Army knife sort of role and help out where I can and, you know, bring in my network and support what we're doing here and help this product become as mainstream as possible.
That is so cool. And all because of a college party, taking a bong hit at the college party. Can you imagine if you hadn't gone to that party? Can you?
I might still be sitting here like, yo, don't smoke, man. But instead, it's like I took some CBD before I ran my marathon this year, you know?
But that's amazing because, you know, you mentioned how you felt this disconnect between, you felt like you're living these two different lives, you know? And I think that's something that we need. You were talking about education. We need more education in this area, you know, where it's still, you know, the cannabis industry still has this association with, like, stoner culture, you know, and this sort of, like, you know, lazy, this and that. And here you are, you know, top of your class and going to UCLA and, you know, and now you're
smoking weed every day.
Yeah. And the whole point is that this is an industry, you know, it's the cannabis industry. It's a business, You know, it's not just like something, it's not a pastime. It's not something that people do on the side. And no, we have real people in this industry who are very good at what they do, who are very intelligent at what they do and innovative, you know, and, you know, putting themselves on the front line to bring about reform. And, you know, like you guys are doing there at Kinslip, you know, brand new products, you know, industrial, everything that goes along with it. And we need people like that, you know, and I think hopefully, there will be a more integrated society where people don't have to feel like it's something that's completely separate. You know, like there's two different lifestyles going on. And, you know, I think that's where we're going, you know, especially here in California, you know, and definitely in other places, Oregon, Washington, you know, those are leading the way. But, you know, it's something that's happening definitely across the country and across the world.
Totally. And like, I mean, the thing, like what you say about lazy, like, you know, the idea that stoners are lazy or people who enjoy cannabis are lazy, like try and be lazy and grow a cannabis plant. Like try and miss a day, try and miss a couple days, try and miss like a little bit of tending to those things and you won't grow good quality flower. Like cultivators, farmers, you know, like pot farmers, right, have such a like stigma, but that is hard labor that requires meticulous effort, super crazy attention to detail, making sure that timing is right, water is right, lights are right, soils are right, trimming is right, the timing is right, you have to dry it for the right amount of time. There are so many things that have to land in order to create quality cannabis. And so, and that's the stuff that really gets you high that real, you know, heavy consumers want. So it's like, you can't be lazy and have really quality cannabis. It's like, they're almost like, it's this external vision that they are separate, right? Like a cannabis consumer and hardworking are like this, but reality, they almost have to be like this because because smoking cannabis, sometimes it is great to enjoy and slow down. And like, that's part of the value, right? Is it's like, you know, for a long time, I used to say, you know, I was just purely a recreational smoker. And they were like, well, what do you use to, you know, what do you use your cannabis for? I was like, smoking weed and playing video games. And I was with this doctor and she was like, well, does smoking weed and playing video games help you de-stress? And I was like, well, yeah. It does a lot. And like, what's to say that that's any different than, you know, even doing yoga, Soul Cycle, all these things that boost endorphins and are so good for us. And, you know, Dennis Perrone, the author of Crop 215, he has a quote that says all cannabis use is medicinal. And I fully believe it. We have an endocannabinoid system that wants to receive the, you know, these ingredients that are found in cannabis. And, you know, there's definitely healing properties regardless of if you're doing it just to smoke weed with buddies or if you're doing it to relieve pain or, you know, gain focus or alleviate a headache. There's definitely more like specific medical uses, absolutely. But I'm also a firm believer that using cannabis is good for people in some capacity. And I think that in 5-10 years, every person is going to be using cannabis in some capacity, in maybe not a daily routine, but some sort of routine.
No, definitely. And I agree with that too, because, you know, that's another sort of disconnect that we have, where we have the disconnect between the medical and the recreational. You know, and a lot of problems with people, you know, if you make the decision to have your business be a recreational product, you know, there's extra added hoops, extra added, you know, red tape to go through. And it's hard enough as it is, you know, so
totally.
And people, you know, maybe we not at the level where, you know, thank goodness we don't need a medical license to go to a dispensary in certain states. But you know, everybody has something that can benefit you, you know? So I think that, like you said, five to 10 years, you know, we're going to be right there as well with that.
Totally.
So very good. So what are the biggest obstacles that you faced, you know, being in the industry or with Kinslips, and how have you been able to overcome it?
Yeah. So biggest obstacles, definitely a lot around compliance, I would say, is a major one. You know, a lot of the times the way I explain the current state of the industry to my friends who don't work in the industry is, you know, that photo of like those dudes eating lunch on like a beam from like 1900 or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
right? It's like Empire State Building or Sears
on
Tower.
On the top.
Right, and they're like chilling and they're just like eating their lunch. And it's like, wow. And
normal
like,
day's work, you know? It's no thing.
Right, but that photo could not be taken in 2019 for a million reasons, right? OSHA, they'd require harnesses. They probably have a break room. They're probably unionized and they'd need to like be off the world. You know, like there's a million things that are preventing that photo. Safety conditions, working conditions, etc., that would not allow that photo to be able to be taken in 2019. But I feel like a photo of like equitable shock value could have been taken in like December of 2017 in cannabis. And now the industry is expected not only to be on par with all these other compliance and legal, frameworks that have been set for other industries, but even like a step above, you know, the cannabis tax in Oakland, for instance, is 10% tax on business. Home Depot pays a 0.012%. Right. So it's like this business that's worth billions of dollars pays a thousandth of what these tiny little companies are paying. Just because there's this assumption that cannabis is ready to operate at the super high level. So I definitely think just like just basic sophistication and keeping up with compliance that is, from tracking, right? One of the just track and trace, the way it's been rolled out has been tremendously difficult, and tracking everything, every single unit, every single SKU, where it goes, if it gets moved from one place to another, it has to be tracked. Making sure our guests have badges every time they walk in the door. There's so many little details that must be maintained in order to be compliant, and it's tremendously difficult to keep track of all of it. You know, there's actually Simplify, I'll give them a shout out. They help with compliance software and they have some of the best shirts around, and one of their shirts says 99% compliant, and I love it that like even a compliance company is like, you're probably like 99%. it's like even if you work with us, I don't know if you're going to be 100% compliant. I would make a bet. I will say on the record that I would bet that there are 0% of cannabis companies operating in California that are 100% compliant. I would put money on that today. And so I think that's definitely one thing. And then sophistication, just general sophistication of the industry. You know, I often do sales and, you know, people are busy and people are overwhelmed. And, you know, whether it's going to meet with a retailer and, you know, say we have an appointment at 3 o'clock and then things get pushed and then 4 o'clock and then I have to leave. And I think that just lack of sophistication of how appointments are set, how, say one person's on metric, someone's not, how do you deal with that integration? Just these lack of processes, I think cause a lot of friction and a lot of wasted time for a lot of people, which I think brings the whole economic value of the industry down a little bit, because just so much time just missed because of lack of alignment. And I think those are just kinks that are going to get worked out. But like, there's no Procter & Gamble, right? There's no one who's been doing this for like 100 years who's just like, hey, this is how it goes. When we onboard you, you do this, you give us these assets, and then we do this. No one has that. Everyone's figuring it out. Everyone's helping each other. Everyone's kind of supporting each other, and like the success of your partners in this industry and this supply chain, the way it works, it's like you really need to have super strong partnerships up and down the supply chain and making sure that their business practices are locked up and secure as well. Because, you know, like if our distillate provider suddenly goes out of business, then we have to find a new distillate. We have to make sure it's up to quality. We have to make sure they can hit numbers. They can consistently provide us with product, right? There's all these sophistications that are just kind of like readily available in other industries, and here it's very juvenile. And so I think that that issues kind of causes a lot of friction for us, and I would assume for a lot of companies as well.
No, definitely, and that's definitely the, you know, huge thing as well. And what you were talking about, you know, where kind of overnight we're expected to be at this high level, and I love that 99%. Reminds me of hand sanitizers. You know, it has to say on there 99.9% of germs. There's still a 0.01 on your hand somewhere.
But, right, you didn't do something.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, we're expected to overnight, you know, be able to implement everything all at once. And you know, that we're talking about disconnect once again. That seems to be the theme here. You know, there's a disconnect there because the people who know the cannabis industry and who've been in it, sometimes are getting pushed out by people who have the capital to be able to stay compliant. you know, be able to jump through all the hoops and to stay in there the long course.
And, or just the capital to pay their employees. And
that's the point.
Pay rent.
And exactly. Their checks aren't bouncing, and they don't have to use cash, and all that stuff. You know, so it's that's a disconnect that's going on that I don't think enough attention is being brought to.
Definitely.
So cool. So you mentioned that there's other we'll call them slips. You know, there's other slips in the market. You know, so what makes Ken Slips memorable among all your competitors?
So there's not many, first of all. There's like two that I know of. I'll give them a shout, Olo and Can of Strips, you know. Keep it up. We're so juvenile as a strip company, you know, that everyone's doing work for everyone, right? It's like if they open an account, then that many more customers know that sublingual strips are a viable method of consuming cannabis, right?
Yeah.
Like how many vape carts are on the market? How many flower companies are on the market, right? Like it's just like, which ones do you want? We're still trying to establish that every retailer should have a strip, right? So like that's kind of like step one. So there are a couple competitors. What I would say sets us apart is, you know, definitely our packaging, the consistency of the experience. Our formulas are dialed in. Our product ingredients, we care tremendously about where our products are sourced. So we focus on, you know, making sure that they're super, super natural. There's no additives, no pesticides, everything's super non-detect on everything. We make sure they're vegan. You know, we don't use gelatin. We don't use honey. We don't use anything produced by animals. It's all super natural. And we use like no sugar. There's a little bit of dextrose. So a little bit of like, you know, alternative sugar, but it's less than, you know, it's diabetic friendly. They're less than 1 calorie per slip, gluten free. We hit a lot of the marks. And then, you know, like I said, you asked why we said Kin Slips. We say that because we engage with people, you know. People hit us up on Instagram and we respond. Every once in a while we actually will get like a nice long message where someone will say, hey, this product totally changed my life. It was amazing. You know, I use it every day now. I used to get headaches and now I don't. And I print those out and I laminate them and I put them on the wall in our manufacturing facility. So it's like even the people who are manufacturing it know that the end result of that labor, it's causing a tremendous benefit for people. And so I think we really do put a lot of love. You know, we're a small team and we all put a lot of positive energy into this thing. And I think a lot of like, you know, all a business is at the end of the day, I guess, you know, I can't speak to the other companies, but as far as what sets Kin Slips apart, you know, what sets any business apart ultimately is the people under the hood, right? And the people who work here are phenomenal and we all care. We all want to make people have a positive cannabis experience. We believe in the power of cannabis and we believe in our product and we want it to work, obviously because we want the business to work, but also because we know there's millions of people who could benefit from cannabis but have some reason that they're not. And we believe that our product addresses a lot of those reasons.
Incredible, incredible. So what can we expect from Kin Slips in the future? What's next?
Growth, baby. You know, we definitely want to establish the validity of a sublingual strip as a method of consumption, right? Edibles the market has validified edibles, vapes, you know, the PAX pods have become mainstream. And we want there to be a strip in every single retailer. You know, our goal is, whether it's a Kin Slip or something else, that within 5 years, anywhere that's selling cannabis is selling a sublingual strip. And so we want it to be super, and we'd love to lead that charge, obviously. We're looking into Canada, you know, that's obviously a big market, and that'd be a cool opportunity. Interstate, you know, all those things are options. But, you know, like I said, it often comes down to capital, and we want to make sure that we're building a business that can last. And so we don't want to stretch too thin too quickly. But yeah, we want to be shipping these things. We want to get them to people. And we want to, you know, take over the world.
Take over the world. One person at a time. Exactly. So, you know, you mentioned that you're in a whole bunch of stores now. Can you tell us how many stores you're in? Where they're mostly located, where can people find Kin Slips?
Sure. So yeah, we're in over 100 stores across the state. If you go to kinslips.com/findslips. So if you're looking to find slips, you go to /findslips and you can see our store locator there. It has a map where you can type in your zip code and it'll show you where, the nearest retailers are. We're pretty, you know, we're usually within a decent range of most people in the state. There's a few gaps that we have, but for the most part, you can find us within a, you know, 10 to 20 minute drive or so.
That's amazing. Great. So, you know, I always got to ask all my guests, you know, we're in this industry, we're all, you know, in this business, you know, how do you define success? What does success look like for you?
Well, for me personally, it's definitely building a career and helping as many people who want to transition into this industry as possible have a positive experience. And you know, building a career in this industry. And I would say for the industry success, I think that cannabis has an opportunity to really disrupt how business is done, not just like as a product, but, you know, in disrupting kind of pharmaceuticals and et cetera. I think that the way cannabis is currently being operated, there's a true sense of camaraderie, of partnership. I really feel as if we're invested with all of our partners. Unlike I've ever felt in any other industry where it's kind of like this, we're all in it together. And I think that there is this much higher unified desire to make an industry that changes people's lives and changes the stigma surrounding cannabis and makes it easily accessible. And I would love it so that, you know, rather than when you get to a friend's house, they're like, hey, do you want, you know, a beer or a glass of wine? It's just like, hey, maybe you'd still offer beer, a glass of wine, whatever, but just included in the conversation is, or, you know, a bong rip or a vape or a strip, you know? I think that just really modernizing society to accept cannabis, not only accept it, but really embrace it as a value add to people and to how we operate as a society.
Incredible. So now as we close, is there anything else you'd like to share about Kinslips or yourself that we haven't already covered?
No, man, I appreciate all the questions. And I guess the only thing I would share is, just to anyone who's interested in working in this industry, it is, you know, it's a total passion industry, but like, if you want to make it work, there are people who, every company in this industry needs quality people working for them. And quality people who really care about what's happening and aren't just in it for the money and really want to, you know, spread the good word of cannabis and the impact that this industry can bring to the world. There's space and it's awesome. And yeah.
Come on,
and anyone in the industry, reach out. I always love talking to people. You know, this we got connected on a random plug on LinkedIn, and here we are chatting. You know, I make myself very available for people, and I do my best in life to be available and be a resource to anyone who's looking for support. So
that's it. You hear that, guys? Hit them up. So, and if the door's open, everybody, if you're not in the industry yet, you're thinking about it, we're waiting for you. We want everybody over here. So very good. He's the boss star, everybody. So thank you again, Michael, for joining us today.
Yes, good
luck to you. Good luck to Kinslips and the rest of 2019 and beyond.
Right on. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's CALACANN.com. And follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.